You are about to experience the Corpse Cast. We would advise any listener who may be ill, pregnant, or of weak constitution to reconsider listening to the show for fear of an onset of health issues related to encountering bouts of pure shock or fright. For those who wish to continue, just remember, to avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a podcast, only a podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 353 of the Corpse Cast. I'm Mike.
I'm Steve.
Steven is here, and he is excited to get into this one for some reason. I have no idea why.
Because I enjoyed these movies a lot, Mike.
So what did we do last time? Like, what was
last time was, it was Host and As Above, So Below.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Found footage, yeah. Host.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, these were both really good. And basically what we're doing this episode is we're doing the road trip episode. We're talking about Duel from 1971 and Joyride from 2001.
Yeah. I like that. I was referred to it as the unseen driver.
Yeah. The
mystery driver.
The first half of Jeepers Creepers.
Right. the better half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly right. Before we get into that, a few things that have happened this past little time. The grandmaster of horror and exploitation, Roger Corman, passed away. So we're going to have to do a little show for him. We're going to have to bump that up in the thing and just talk a little bit about some of his movies. And I don't know. I don't think that I'm the most qualified to do like a retrospective on him, because there's so many books about and documentaries about Roger Corman, and they could teach you, and they could, you know, have all the information better we could. But maybe we'll just choose a couple of movies and that we really enjoy, and then we'll go from there. But not next episode, because I'm too pumped to talk about Pink Iga movies. So, we'll do that in a couple of times. Anyway, Also, want everyone to know, and I want to remind everyone, that Mike Cadaver's Horror Pub Trivia Season 2 is live on OSI 71's Roku channel, and our Roku channel, and our Rumble channel. Go to horrorpubtrivia.com. I want to remind everyone that I've been putting up the Old Corpse Collective video show that we had on Zombie TV a little while back on Rumble, along with some movies, like I put up The Count Dracula's Great Love with some extra goodies in the breaks, and it's weird, because I don't know where these guys from Zombie TV found all these little weird things, but they stuck them all in there. And it's just some bizarre stuff that's hidden, like
you're
little hidden
gems.
You're not
used to sticking bizarre things in?
not in the middle of things, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Is that some kind of sexual entendre?
I wouldn't
double
know.
Entendre?
Yeah, maybe. You went to college.
Yeah, your mom went to college.
Hey, she did.
You know, so I watched my 200th movie this past week.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You're counting?
Yeah. I'd add them all to the list. Go get me on Letterboxd. Right, Mike Cadaver on Letterboxd. It was on the 106th day of the year. So that means I'm watching movies at a rate of 1.7 movies a day. Maybe I have a problem. Sorry, Abigail. That was great. So, yeah, I'm done. That's all I got. That's all I got for the intro there.
It's nice.
Anyway, so yeah, what's been up, man? How you living?
Good. I'm excited about In a Violent Nature. Everybody's talking about
it. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go check that out.
Yeah, when does it go to theaters?
The 31st.
Okay, cool.
Of this
so what
month.
Is it?
Yeah.
What is it? It's now the 17th.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks. So next time.
The Friday, the next time we do a podcast.
Yeah. Well, so. maybe we'll have to, I don't know, maybe we will. It's very, like movie theater, bro, I know that like we love horror movies, right?
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah, we do.
But I don't know if I love going to the theater all the time, you know?
I do.
We actually went and checked out the drive-in this last week.
Yeah.
Last weekend we went and saw the new Planet of the Apes movie. And it's like, it's a really fun atmosphere, and it's like a real, you know, we're outdoors, we're like the snacks were so cheap. We went to the just the We didn't sneak in snacks. We went to the, what do you call that? Like the snack play.
Snack bar?
The snack bar. And we got some there, and they were cheap. Like I bought so much stuff, and it was like less than $30. I'm like, oh,
nice.
My gosh.
Nice.
But yeah, so we went and watched
it. What, just right down the street here?
Yeah, just right there.
Yeah, uh-huh. Awesome.
And no, it was really fun. I mean, there's a few things that I have to remember is that there's always going to be some jackass that like whose car alarm goes off
in
the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always going to be some asshole who doesn't like know the etiquette of turning off your GD lights, you know?
I was the last time I went to the drive-in, I was that guy. I was in my 2003 F-150.
And you didn't know
and how to... Well, because you got to turn it on. You got to get it on the radio, right?
Uh-huh,
on
yeah.
the stereo, right? Uh-huh. Like, tune it. Well, I couldn't turn off my headlights. You know, there's no way to turn off my headlights. And so everybody's getting pissed off in front of me and everything. And I'm like, you know, I'm feeling like a doucher, you know, right? And then, of course, at the end of the movie, my battery's dead.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, man.
Not only do I get, like, the headlight, the beams, well, they're on bright or anything, but still, yeah, you know, it's right. annoying enough, you know, in the people in front of me. But, yeah, begging for a jump. And of course, they've got some kid going around with a you know, an insta jump or whatever, you know.
Right.
You know, a quick jump.
Oh, I didn't know they did that. Oh, funny. Yeah. How funny.
Oh, because, you know what? There's always,
I'm sure it happens all the time.
There's always
that douche.
Guy, you know.
You were
and
him.
So I was that guy. Yeah,
you know,
not my proudest.
It's funny because, like, I mean, we went and we've gone a few times and we've parked two cars next to each other. We used to have a truck. We just a backup truck.
Right.
But we have two cars and then we just kind of sit on the outside in our chairs, right? And it's nice. And you know, you open up the doors to the stereo and we have a little speaker right there that you can turn on to the. Has a radio on it. You can just point it, you know, back at you and stuff like that. So it's really, it's kind of nice. But,
right.
But like the sound, it's really cheap. But I figured because it's like the sound system isn't, you know, quite as nice as you're going into the, you know, to the THX or whatever now and all that stuff. But you know, I don't know, for some reason it's not quite as bright.
Right.
Meaning it's not quite as crisp on the screen. And
but it's nostalgic.
No, but I was going to say. So I mean, it's like I really like doing that.
Yeah.
I just think that. Next time I'm going to go and get on one of the front rows and sit in the car, you know, and so I can see it a little bit better. Cause we were towards the back cause we had like 8 billion people with us. Right.
Right.
Just me and all my children, but, and my stepkids and all that stuff. So it was like, you know, I mean, it was like what?
The
seven?
Brood, the brood.
So, I mean, and it was, it's like, I don't know. It was a little bit hard to, it was also like the Northern Lights time, and you could kind of see them over the eastern horizon little bit, and it was really fun. It's just I don't know if it's the best place to watch a movie. Thank goodness it's not the only way to watch a movie like it was back in the old days,
right?
So, I mean, not the only way, but you know what I mean.
I enjoy driving.
Yeah, same here.
Except when my lights will go off.
I was thinking about going to see Tarot, but I'm like.
Oh yeah,
I don't.
Yeah,
and A Stranger just came out too, but I'd probably go see Tarot over the Strangers.
Yeah, you know, Strangers are. I'm hearing it's getting panned a bit by critics. Kind of.
I've just heard. Well, critics can SMD.
Right.
But like,
hey, we're critics.
No, we're not critics. We're film.
We're two white guys with a podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly right. back to that. No, but I feel like it's like I've heard that if you like the old ones, you're gonna like this one type of thing. You know?
Right. Right.
So it's like it makes sense. You know. Yeah. Whatever.
I hear
you. But no, but I was thinking, I don't know if Tarot's going to be too dark, you know, like not like evil,
you mean like the
like I wonder if I'm going to be able to see the details because we started that and the movie started at 8:45 and it was still kind of light outside when the movie started.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Shit, I can't see anything right now.
What's going on? Especially when you're in the back row, man. You know,
that's exactly what I'm saying. So we were pretty far back there.
But you're closer to the snack bar.
Yeah, we still had to walk a half a mile. Not really. Maybe.
It's right in the middle.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's fine, and it was fun. It was super. I had a great time.
Good.
But it just, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Going to regular theaters though, it's fine. I don't know. I feel like it's like. No, like even the good movies that have come out lately,
right.
Like Abigail, Late Night with the Devil, like Immaculate, you know, those ones that have just come out fairly recently. I didn't see any of those in the theater. And I'm just like, I don't know.
You know,
I go back and forth.
I'm going to say something maybe a bit controversial or whatever.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But here I am. The best time to go to the theater was during the pandemic.
Oh, no, I bet that's the best time.
It was. I kind of miss pandemic theater days.
What was the difference? Just by yourself?
Nobody there. Yeah. And they were showing, like, since no movies were being released, they were, like, showing older. You know,
yeah, you know, I wish the drive-in would do that, too.
Dude, that was awesome. And guess what? Get to sit in the theater all by yourself, you know? And if somebody comes in, you just start coughing.
and they get all freaked out because the government wanted you to die, wanted you to fear them.
No,
that's cool. We've had small issues with people. Oh, remember, we went to Terrifier 2.
Right. And those girls that wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
that was, oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know.
See, if that was during the pandemic, wouldn't have happened.
See, that would, let's bring it back.
Yeah.
Let's bring the pandemic back.
It wasn't good for theaters, though, but
it wasn't good for my mental health.
Right. So,
I mean, it
wasn't good for my liver.
Yeah, no doubt. My goodness. All right. Let's get into the show. What do you think?
Oh, I guess so.
Let's start with the bone saw. Okay.
Ooh.
And we'll be right back with that.
Bonesaw.
All right, there you have it. You know it's Bonesaw time because that is the official Bonesaw song.
You just like saying bone.
A lot.
A bone.
I just got a bone.
I got a bone. I get your Bonesaw.
Oh, here they had to do it.
I get you for 3 minutes. You're not going anywhere.
You know it.
You're not going nowhere. Oh, see, you know it.
I know. Because it ruined my life. I told you. It was my gamer tag to them.
Embrace it.
Well, it's 21 years later, yeah, so yeah, it's like it doesn't matter much anymore.
No, yeah, it's great. So that's why you go to embrace it. You got to roll with it. You got to love it.
So if you've never heard, if this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, every single episode or the episode that we can come up with something, we like to give a recognition award, the Bonesaw Award, to an independent horror creator or band, creators, right? Artists, but it can be any kind of thing that's horror related. And this one, I actually, by accident, came upon something called Die Die Books. The tagline, killer books on horror movies. And I can't remember how I came across them. I just found them on Facebook or something. But the thing is, here's their tagline. Die Die Books publishes books about scary movies written for horror fans by horror fans who approach their work from a smart, personal, critical perspective. Each Die Die book covers a different horror movie and is written by a different author, bringing a range of idiosyncratic worldviews and approaches to the material. They're in Kirksville, Missouri. They have both hardcover and ebooks. The catalog right now is very small. They have their initial run of books. There's a book about Poltergeist, a book about Threads, a book about the Wolfman, a book about Sleepaway Camp, and a book about the Love Witch. Now, I'm like, okay, this is kind of a cool idea, right?
Yeah.
But I wonder if these, I mean, you know, because it's like, this day and age of self-publishing stuff like that, you know, there's a lot of great authors out there that need more recognition, but there's also a lot of authors out there that, you know, are just kind of flying by the seat of their pants. Well, I thinking about it, and I'm like, well, you can buy this in paperback, right? So in a physical copy of it, right? It's $15 if you do. But you can also spend $5 and get the ebook of it, right? So I'm like, you know, I'll give $5. I'll give it a shot, right? So I went and downloaded a movie about Poltergeist by a guy named Jacob Trussell. I'm like, you know, I'm not like a huge reader, right?
Yeah,
I like to fall asleep watching movies, or if I'm reading, it's typically because I'm trying to learn something new for work or something like that, right? But I'm almost finished with it. Like, I got it in, it was $5.
Damn.
I mean, it's like, I mean, they're not the longest books of all time,
right?
But I'll start a book like The Philosophy of Horror or something like that, right? And it's like, they'll get into it, and man, some of these people will get way off topic. Like, oh, and then Reagan's America in the 80s, and I'm just like, ah, can it, you hippie? This is getting boring. I'm going to skip to the next part and all this other stuff, right? But no, this one is really good. I can't speak for them all, obviously, but this one is really good. So I figured, why not give these guys a Bonesaw and, I don't know, get them out there to our two listeners. How about that?
Sounds good. I like the illustrations. I gotta have something that I can look at the pictures.
You just like, yeah, you like the pictures? Yeah, well, I honestly get, I have magazines for that.
Oh, okay, nice.
So it's like, yeah. But so anyways, so go to diediebooks.com, diediebooks.com, and check those guys out. It looks like they did, like I said, their first run, and because since they said it's their first run, I assume that potentially there would be a second run. And these guys are just like, they're just a man and a woman, and I don't know if they're like a couple or anything like that, but they're in Missouri, a tiny, tiny thing, and, you know, they're helping out. So how about that?
Nice.
Kudos to you, and you receive the bone saw. Cool. All right. There we go. You got anything before we get into the real show?
Let me think.
Yeah?
Nope.
Okay. All right, so here we go. Just like in every episode, I like to write a little tiny intro.
Uh-oh.
To kind of introduce the subject that we're talking about today. And today is the good old American road trip. And it's funny because we live in Salt Lake City, and so we're used to having to drive a long way through the desert, you know, if we're going to Vegas or California or Colorado or wherever we're going, right? I mean, because if you go anywhere south, it's all desert. Southern Utah is all basically
and
desert.
And west.
Well, and what? Yeah, you're right.
And
west
north.
Too. But yeah, exactly. Well, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But it's like, because we have the Wasatch Front, which is normal, and then it's just a high plain desert every once.
I always kind of like, to me, this area is kind of like, I picture like Salt Lake Valley be like a starport. You know,
yeah,
like,
and the rest is uncharted.
You have to go from like, or plan, you know, but like starboard, you go from one, yeah, to, you know, yeah.
It's
yeah,
funny because it's like Colorado. You would think it's the same thing because it's, but it's not. Like Colorado, I mean, now I'm talking topography. I just got upset because these books were going way off. Some of the books I were going. No, but it's weird because Utah has like the Wasatch Front all the way from like Ogden. I mean, even to clear to Logan, maybe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All the way down to past Provo. It's all just, that's where all of the concentration of the population is. And, you know, but it's not like that in Colorado. It's Denver, drive for Denver Metro, right?
Right.
Drive for a while. Colorado Springs, nothing. Drive for a while.
Right.
Pueblo.
Right, right.
And all this other stuff. So it's a little bit different that way. But anyway, so we know what it's like to drive 12 hours. You know, it's like I've done this like one time, one week we went to Disneyland. So we drove 12 hours, right?
Yeah.
Both, you know, and we stayed for a week, drove back. And the next week I drove up to Fort Collins, Colorado, for a football game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like we drive a lot, you know, unless we're staying in the valley, obviously, but it's not unheard of, the thing to do around here. Anyways, there's a lot of time to kill on those road trips, right? And according to these movies that we're talking about today, one way to kill that time is to have some fun by playing a quote-unquote harmless joke, and the other way is to white-knuckle in a road rage extravaganza. And I bet you that time went very fast, by the way. But road trips aren't typically scary, however they can be, especially at night on the roads less traveled. Like, if you were to drive from Salt Lake to Vegas, there's going to be thousands of cars going by all the time, right? It's when you get off and go to the smaller like areas, stuff like that. And it's funny because in the movie Joyride, like, I mean, I'm sure that from California to Salt Lake, up through Laramie and down to, you know, Colorado, down to Denver's way and stuff like that. I mean, I know that very well. You know that, I mean, I think he was from Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, I typically, I'm in the Southern California, but it's kind of, it's the same thing, you know, driving up there and you can just, like you said, there's nothing once you get into Wyoming for a long time. Anyways, but there's a lot of shit that could happen. There's a lot of road where if something bad went wrong at the wrong spot, you are screwed, you know? And so, and we definitely find out this episode, and whether supernatural or just a road trip, regular a-hole guy's horror, or even if it's just a car trouble, right? This is fertile soil for that kind of movie. But since we're just talking about the deadly road trip movies, these two are very different from each other, and we'll get into how. So why don't we just get started by hearing a trailer from Duel from 1971.
Thank you. the bus, please. Please, come on. Come on, back in the bus.
Going.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we are talking about Duel 1971 with you know who this, let me pull this up right here. You may have heard the director here,
Steven Spielberg.
Oh
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Spielberg. Oh yeah, I think that guy has a future.
maybe
1971, Steven Spielberg directed, starring Dennis Weaver as David Mann, Jacqueline Scott as Mrs. Mann, Eddie Firestone as cafe owner, Lou Frizzell as bus driver, and it has a whole slew of different cast, and they're just kind of guy at gas pump, you know, and then there is these two gentlemen, a gentleman named Kerry Lofton,
yep,
and Dale Van Sickle.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, Mike.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second?
Right.
You
right.
missed the most important part.
What?
Sweet Dick Whittingham is a radio interviewer.
Oh.
His name is Sweet Dick Whittingham.
Sweet Dick.
So there you go.
Right?
Sorry.
How did I miss that?
Sweet Dick. How did you miss that Sweet Dick?
I don't know. It's not like me to miss a Sweet Dick.
we're so funny to ourselves.
I know. So before I get into it, you know, before I get into it. Well, no, no, here. You know what I'm going to do?
Just do it.
Okay, fine. I'm going to do it. Let's see. Let's look at IMDb, and let's look up the cast. And here we go. Lou Frizzell. Oh, Lou Frizzell. I love that name. And then, and Lady at Snake-A-Rama was Lucille.
Snake-A-Rama, yeah. Is that what that place was called?
Snake-A-Rama. Yeah. And then, okay. Let's talk about this gentleman, Kerry Lofton.
Okay.
Who was 50 years old when he did this,
movie. Bro, I'm almost 50.
Right. I'm older than that. All right. And Kerry Lofton.
So he's a young buck.
Right. Was responsible. Take a guess on how many movies Kerry Lofton's credited with.
I don't know. 150.
384.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
This guy was the shit when it came to stunt driving.
Uh-huh.
Absolute the man.
Oh, yeah.
Steven Spielberg was given 10 days to film this movie.
Yep.
ABC. Now, here's the thing, is that Spielberg was looking to do some, he wanted to do something bigger, he wanted to do some movie going on. He'd been doing TV, and he just did an episode of Columbo. Well, his secretary was reading through Playboy magazine, and she came across this short story, Duel.
By Richard Matheson, by the way.
By Richard Matheson, which, in coincidence, he wrote on the same day that Kennedy was assassinated.
Yeah,
well, no. It was based on an event that happened with Kennedy. He
got a road rage event.
Yep, when Kennedy died.
Right.
Anyway, to say that Kerry Lofton is the man, I am not. I am, you know, you look it up, Vanishing Point.
Yep.
Yeah. We're talking Bullet.
Yep. Okay.
You know, awesome. This
Stephen
guy,
Queen.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. This guy was the absolute shit as far as like, and he suggested the other guy, Van Sickle, Dale Van Sickle. And so Kerry Lofton drove the truck.
Uh-huh.
And Dale Van Sickle drove the car.
The stunt car, yeah.
Right, right.
Or the car that, what's his name?
The 1970, right. It was a 1970 Plymouth Valiant.
Yep, okay.
Spielberg didn't care what the car, what the make and model was.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted a red car.
Right.
Because he wanted to film on location.
Uh-huh.
Everybody said, you can't do it. You got to film it on a lot. And he's like, nope, not going to do it. We're going to film this on location. It's got to be filmed on location. And,
And a red car really stuck out.
Yeah, right. Know. And then it was taken, you know, the lot, ABC had a bunch of trucks in the back. He chose this 59 Peterbilt that was just all beat up. And he's like, this is the one.
It's scary, dude.
Dude, this truck is terrifying. Yes. Now, did you notice? Oh, let me just, I'm all over the place. But, you know,
you're as frazzled as David Mann.
Oh, yeah. Dennis Weaver plays David Mann as a businessman who's driving to the desert to get to an important meeting. Mr. Mann is involved in an incident on the highway with a truck driver. Man is then put into a fight for his life when the truck driver tries to kill him on the road. Will David get to the meeting on time, or will he die? Watch Duel and find out.
By the way, that sounded like the TNT little
much.
Spiel. Say, hey, tonight at 7.
Yeah,
Will. That was good. Good job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So Spielberg was given 10 days to film. He did it in 13.
Uh-huh.
You know, everything was against him, but how he did it is he set up along the road camera after camera after camera. So when they drove by, and he used a long wide-angle lens, you know, to really get the shots in really good, and that's how he was able to pull it off in such a short time, and just had him drive. The truck really never went over 30 miles an hour.
But it looked like it did.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know how?
Yeah.
Because they filmed it. When they filmed it, they always filmed it up against a cliff.
Yeah, okay.
So, and then they used this specially made car that they used that was made for Bullet that could film like 6 inches off the ground.
Right, right.
You know, and so Spielberg was in the car.
Which is wild because, I mean, that these are not like these are not your phone size cameras, man. These are these are big bad boys, you know?
Right, right, right. And so he's in the car, you know, he's in this with the AD and the cameraman and everything, and they're doing this and they're getting the shots 13 days.
Right.
ABC. So they do this and then they release it. This movie won 2 Emmys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it won 2 Emmys, which is then it got, and it also was released in theater.
Yeah.
As well. Now, I'm really, this is what I really, this is what I find hilarious. Or so, according to some of the trivia on the IMDb.
Okay.
Okay. According to Richard Matheson, the author of the original story, he was inspired to, here we go, write Duel after the encounter. 1962, 1963, John F. Kennedy. Okay, when Kerry Lofton, playing the truck driver, asked Steven Spielberg, what is his motivation for tormenting the car driver? Spielberg told him, "You're a dirty, rotten, no good son of a bitch." Lofton replied, "Kid, you hired the right man."
But it's perfect, though, dude.
Right? Right? Dude. Oh, this guy was hard as nails,
dude.
You know, I love this. I love this movie. There's zero, like, to me, there's zero fat in this movie. It gets going, and Dennis Weaver is so good. And Spielberg wanted him to play the same character that he played in Touch of Evil.
Yeah, okay.
You know, because I mean, as soon as it was thrown out, and they involved Spielberg with the casting. And so when he was there, and there was throwing out names for the lead, and Dennis Weaver comes, he's like, "That's it. That's who we got to get. We got to get Dennis Weaver." Like, why Dennis Weaver? It's like, are you kidding? You know, and I think he was absolutely perfect as David Mann. You know, he carries it, you know. But also, what I really love about the movie are all the other characters. You know, the woman
just
at
the side, just the little ones,
you know, in the cafe.
At the snake land.
Are you okay, buddy?
Yeah.
You know, just like, and then when he goes, when he crashes into the fence, and then he goes out and goes into the cafe, and everybody's like, just having a little problem. Looks like a lot of problems.
Yeah, right.
And,
like, thanks, Grant, you asshole.
Right, right. Then he goes to the bathroom, comes out, and looks, and there's the truck.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's, and then the soundtrack is amazing.
That, I think that was one of the things that added the most stress and anxiety to it.
Right.
Because it was so much like, in it's just so like the growl of the engines and like and like part of the like the sound design stuff like that's like when his car would start like squealing or whining a little bit, I'd be like, oh no, shit,
right,
you know,
right,
we got
right,
it
right.
So but those were characters in the movie, like the biggest ones, right? I mean, don't get me wrong, the both guys played it great. I mean, even though what's his name wasn't on screen, Lofton wasn't on screen that often, when he was, his boots, his whatever, it was very, very tense.
Right, you know, so. Absolutely. Well, and Matheson said the character, the truck driver, shouldn't be shown.
Right,
and,
no, perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And Spielberg, that's what Spielberg absolutely wanted to go for, was it was, so you know it's being driven by somebody,
yeah,
but the truck.
Yeah,
is
if you think about it, this came out in 1971. I'd never seen it before.
You haven't seen this? Oh,
never
okay,
seen
okay.
it before. So basically, you can see, I mean, I just started watching this. I go, oh, shit, that's just like in Jeepers Creepers. Oh, shit, that's like in Joyride,
right,
the other movie
we're
doing.
Right.
And here's this part that's just like this. Here's this part. So I have to say, though, that I hated this movie.
You did?
Here's why.
Okay.
It stressed me the fudge out. It was so good. It was so good. And I mean, it had like it, I mean, it was, it, this was like, okay. So like you were saying a little bit, this was, Spielberg was on a 7-year Universal contract, mm-hmm. right? He'd done TV,
right?
You know, he'd made his own movies. He had a couple of movies that he already put through Amblin, but then he got hired. He did know somebody to get in there to Universal and get your foot in the door. But obviously, this guy, for his first, so he made this for TV, but it did so well, like you said, that they added some time and put it into the theater. It's funny because you said that it took 13 days to film, right?
Right.
Well, that only gave him 10 days left to edit it before it went live.
Absolutely.
But here you have this movie, right? And it's normal, it's cool, and it looks great. I mean, but the sound, you know, you're getting used to it, all stuff, but it gets going. And like there is like Hitchcock level,
absolutely.
Like in Vertigo,
absolutely.
Or a Rear Window, or mm-hmm. something like that, kind of tension, right? And then you get the scary truck, right?
Oh,
and then it's just wild to me. And like this got me more than the first time I watched Jaws. Like I was stressing out. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is stupid.
So here's a little something. Did you notice on the front of the truck all the license?
I did,
plates?
Huh?
You know why?
I assume that he went to all those places and killed people.
That's exactly it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, murder on the road, death on the road.
And,
that's
you
what,
know, it's
that's what Spielberg wanted.
And it's perfect.
You know, like a notch in your Colt 45. You know,
exactly
for every you know. So kind of is it a, you know like a Western? You yeah. know? But was David Mann's offense really that egregious to piss this guy off?
Well, no, but he was obviously a psycho.
Right, exactly, you know? Exactly.
And he was relentless, just like Jaws.
Right, right.
Just like Michael Myers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he was a faceless ghoul, and the truck was the monster.
Yeah.
Okay, really.
Right.
But when David Mann, like, for instance, when he goes into the, like what you said, first of all, he orders a cheese sandwich. Who the hell orders a cheese sandwich? Hey, weird. I'm like, oh, what is he, 5 years old?
Right,
okay,
not
cool.
even grilled cheese, just
no,
like
just cheese.
And,
but he's in there, and he's sweating, and you he's not
right,
talking, but
right.
you can hear his thoughts. And that's when you've got, like, oh, shoot, I can't remember what's his name, like one of the greatest actors in Hollywood in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, in Vertigo, in Rear Window, and all that stuff.
Like
right?
Jimmy Stewart?
Jimmy Stewart, exactly how, and he would talk to himself.
Right,
and,
right.
And he, but the thing is I've been in situations where I'm, like, going over, like, oh, shit. Well, what about this? What about this? You
right.
know, and it's
oh, yeah.
obviously it's not quite as clear as, you know, it's, I mean, it's thought. I mean,
right,
thoughts
right.
aren't, you don't talk to yourself like that in real life, right? You just think that. But you've got all these thoughts and like kind of a paranoia thing, right? And there's a couple of parts where like, and there's not very many, but like the one part where he goes to the diner and you can finally relax for a minute, right?
Right, right.
And then he goes right out and we're like, God damn it.
Right.
But we got to do this again.
But even in the diner, when there's this one shot when it's looking at David Mann, but it's got a shot of the folks sitting at the bar.
Yeah.
And it's this one guy and he kind of gives this like look. It's like, uh-huh. that's the dude. That's the
But
guy,
I didn't know.
You know
I didn't think
right.
about that until I saw the truck after he came out of the bathroom.
Right, right.
So I'm like,
yeah.
Oh.
And he's drinking a beer, you know, in the middle of the afternoon. Like, hey, I miss the old days.
Their truckers just having a cool, it looked good.
Right.
That looked very good.
This movie.
It was stressful.
Right.
I'm not going to watch it for a long time because it's like, okay, so I know I said this. It scared me more than Jaws did. Okay?
Right,
like Jaws,
right.
I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, no, and I'm not saying that it's a better film
but
than Jaws.
But when are you going to go swimming with a great white
Jesus? No, exactly
yeah.
right. And I've been in, you know, situations
right.
close to this, you know? I mean, not quite. But it's like, oh my gosh.
But I mean, where we live, I could picture this. I love driving around Utah.
Yeah.
I love exploring, you know, all around Utah and the small mm-hmm. ghost towns and everything.
Exactly.
This could happen.
That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, this could, you know, this is absolutely believable.
Yes.
And they only had one truck.
In the whole thing.
The whole thing, they had one truck. They actually had two, but the other one crapped out in pre-production.
Yeah, so they just did it and they had to get
right.
the ending on the well, no spoilers,
right.
but they had to get the ending on one take. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Which is awesome. And that whole thing, you know, was done. It's executed so well.
Yeah.
And then with Dennis Weaver, you know, kind of
he's hopping around like, but you know what? It's like he looks like a freaking idiot, but
yeah.
I guess
yeah.
he's, I mean, can you imagine just the relief,
the adulation.
Like, this is how it starts. This is how this movie starts. I'm watching it. I'm like, okay, cool. Guy's
yeah,
gotta
yeah.
guy's gotta get to his meeting on time.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I'm like, oh shit, he's probably not gonna make his meeting. Oh no, don't ruin your car, bro. It's,
right,
you're gonna
right.
get a scratch or something like that.
Yeah,
you know. And after a while, you totally forget about that as it gets more tense and it gets more dangerous. You're like, I just hope you live. You know?
So interesting is that the studio was okay with him, with them showing that it was a Plymouth, but mm-hmm. they made him cover up
they had to hide
the Valiant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which
I don't
is,
know. I have no idea.
I don't know why, you know, but it's bizarre.
So
but,
let me talk a little bit about the writing on this, okay?
Yeah.
It's like this had to be very hard to write, right? Because I mean, it's a simple, one of the simplest plots of any movie that we've done on the show, right?
Oh, right.
I
Absolutely.
Mean, we've had some real, but it's just like a guy gets in a road rage for the whole thing, right?
Right.
Can you imagine like writing all the specifics and storyboarding every little thing and then finding an area that matches it? And, you know, you have to do it at the same time and all that stuff.
And Spielberg has all of those still.
That's what I know. And I'm seeing that. I'm like, how do you write that? I mean, you had to foresee every little thing. And it's like, I mean, when you're in real life driving around, shit just happens, you know?
Right, right.
But so it's like, but everything looked really natural and they made it look, like you said, really fast. And, but the thing is if anybody's going to do that, Richard Matheson is going to do that. So, okay, I'm just going to talk a little bit about him if you don't mind.
No, do it.
Novels that he's written that turned into movies. I Am Legend. From 1954, that was The Last Man on Earth, 1964. The Omega Man, I Am Omega and I Am Legend. The Shrinking Man.
Oh, from Twilight Zone.
Oh, wait, yeah, no, he's done, I got that too. So it's like, these are just the movies. The Incredible Shrinking Man. It got Stir of Echoes, which we did, Stir of Echoes. Did we? I don't know if we did.
No, we
did.
Yeah.
Hell House, The Legend of Hell House, What Dreams May Come, that turned into a movie as well. But he's done so many. He has short stories that he adapted for Twilight Zone, The Third from the Sun, Death Ship, Disappearing Act, Little Girl Lost, and you would recognize if you've watched it. You recognize these. I mean, maybe not by the title, but Steel, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, which is maybe one of the most famous Twilight Zone episodes. Mute and Button. Did a lot for Night Gallery, Trilogy of Terror, Outer Limits, that kind of thing too. So it's funny because when I read I Am Legend the first time, I was like, man, that's weird. He wrote this so long. I don't know. He probably just barely passed away. I mean, it's like I don't know exactly. Maybe I should have done some research for the podcast or whatever. But but he did all these things. And if somebody's going to do it, it's going to be him.
Right.
I think.
Right.
He originally wrote this for the March 1971 issue of Playboy. And it's wild that like all this came from that. It's wild that everything kind of everything like you said, the secretary said, oh, here, check this out. And then here's Spielberg like, oh, my gosh, I've been doing all this. Come on, guys. I want something real to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And they didn't give him a feature. I mean, they didn't give him like a theatrical movie first. They gave him a TV movie just so he could cut his teeth. And it was so good that it went to theaters, you know. So when you have a talent like that, and obviously everyone knows who Steven Spielberg is, and everybody, it's funny because I'm reading, like I said, I'm reading about that Poltergeist thing, the Poltergeist book by Die Die Books. And it talks a lot about his involvement with him. Worked with Toby Hooper on that movie too.
Right,
and it's
absolutely.
Like everybody knows who it is. You can tell when there's flourishes of Spielberg. You know, it's just great. And you know,
and he was doing E.T. at the same time.
It's wild.
You know, but I think what's really great about this movie, and I think why it works so well, is you get this amazing combination of old school, filmmakers. You know, first of all, you've got this seasoned author, so it's a great story.
Right.
Then Dennis Weaver had been in a ton of stuff.
I don't know, probably westerns or something that. You know?
Yeah. And just all kinds of stuff. And then from everybody, all the extras. When you see the extras, it's like, oh, I know them. You know, they're just great cast
they were
character
on,
actors.
They were on 10 episodes of Bond. What's that? Bonanza.
Right.
And Gunsmoke.
And then to your stunt guys, who are incredibly, you know, like these are the dudes, you know. It and then you have Spielberg, who is young and has got all these wild ideas. You know,
he's probably like, "What does this kid think?"
Right. Well, a lot of that happened with him with some of the oh, you can't do that. We're gonna do it.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad he stood his ground.
Oh yeah, but this is what he attributes Duel to be the catalyst for him, like getting
his career.
It's
crazy that I've never seen this before because, like, I mean, so typically when somebody's like, hey, let's go, what movie do you want to watch? What I'm looking at, does it have a monster? You know, whatever.
Right.
And it's like, or, kind of a killer or something like that, right? And it's like, no, this doesn't. It's just about a guy driving, you know? And it's but the story isn't that, but you watch it and it's like I said, I freaking hated it. I was tense the whole time. It's like, I like to enjoy and wind down. This was a tense movie.
No, I'd seen the movie before, mostly like on Saturday morning, But I judge a lot of movies by how many times I pick up my phone. And it's like, if I'm paying more attention to Instagram than I am the movie, then it's like, yeah, not that good.
Well, there's a lot more boobies on Instagram than there are in this movie. You know,
but I didn't pick up my phone. Even though I had seen the movie.
I hate it. It's like, I was just like stressed out. I felt, right. I did it without even thinking about it.
Right.
I was like, oh man.
No, this is a great movie.
Yeah, it was good.
What is it? I forget to put down.
IMDb is 7.6. Let's see, it's a 7.6. Yep.
Yeah, 7.6. And I think it should be higher. You know,
it's great.
Yeah,
it's I can't believe it took me this long to watch it.
If you haven't seen Duel, do yourself a favor
and do it.
Yeah. Watch it. It's great.
All right, clever. All right. So why don't we do this? Let's play a trailer for Joyride and come back and talk about that one.
If you had a car, you could pick me up in Colorado. We could have an adventure. You know, the two of us.
You'd want that?
How far would you go for the girl you've always wanted?
Sexy choice. Vintage 1971.
How much would you do for a brother in need?
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'll drop him off in Denver.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Breaker 1-9.
This is like a prehistoric internet or something. Can you do a woman's voice?
How much fun could you have?
Hey there, this is Candy Cane. Who's this?
Rusty Nail.
If I were there, Rusty Nail, I'd make you feel good.
This is turning me on.
When the joke...
I'll be at the Lone Star Motel.
What room?
Room 17. I can't wait.
This is awesome!
...is now on you.
Who the hell is it?
We had a little incident here last night. The victim was staying in room 17.
What happened to him?
Ripped his jaw clean off.
This fall.
So you guys ready for an adventure or what?
Everything you say.
Candy cane.
We saw what you did to that guy. You pathetic, lonely freak show.
Will come back to haunt you.
You really should get that fixed.
Get what fixed?
That tail light.
Everything you see is going to terrify you. And everything you hear.
Who's the pretty girl?
He's watching us!
Is going to drive you.
Go, go!
Over the edge.
Don't leave me alone! Please! We'll do whatever you want!
I want you to go head inside naked. So how does it feel to be the freak in the room?
Hey, we're sorry!
Why'd you do it?
It's just for fun. Just for a laugh.
You don't feel like getting together in a motel later. Room 17. Do not be 1 minute late.
Get open the door! Get open the door!
So are you still good or need me to drive?
All right, we're back, and we're talking about Joyride from 2001. IMDb gives us a 6.6. It was directed by a guy named John Dahl, who has 68 directorial credits from IMDb. Lots and lots and lots of TV. I'll just go down listing it. Walking Dead, Yellowstone, Hannibal. Duh. The Good Doctor. Sorry, I was The Good Doctor with the that kid, and then Hannibal.
Oh, right.
I got
right.
that on Aquarius with Mulder. We got Justified, House of Cards, A Strain, Outlander, Californication, Dexter, Vampire Diaries, True Blood, Fear Itself. A few movies, late 90s, early 2000s, but he got his start in music videos for Cool and the Gang.
Nice.
Yes. So you know that. You know this guy's up for the challenge.
So here's the thing about Cool and the Gang.
Uh-oh.
You know who Cool was?
No.
The bass player.
Wait, what?
The bass player.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Cool was the name of the bass player.
Wait, the singer?
Yeah.
What's one of their songs? Cause I always get them mixed up with The Barge. I know. Don't hurt me.
Yeah. So Cool.
Who sings Cool? Who? What song? What's their song?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what. It's not. Yeah. The of the night, because that's The Barge. Oh, and right, I get those right, two mixed right, up. Yeah.
No, Cool. I've got a playlist with all that on there.
Sure you do, pal. It was written by J.J. Abrams, and he had some great stuff, okay? He wrote Joyride 3, by the way. There's two sequels that I have not watched, and I need to. He wrote Super 8, Armageddon.
Oh, Super 8. I like that one.
I like Super 8 a
lot.
Forever Young with racist Mel Gibson and Regarding Henry. And some not-so-great stuff. He wrote Lost, that TV show, and so many people love that. But I always hated the people who love the kind of person that love that.
So,
like, I get to work, they talk about it. I'm like, shut up, you freaking nerd.
The first like three seasons or whatever, but then it blows.
Well, and everybody, you know, I remember. Right. I didn't watch one episode because those dickheads at work. But he'll always be known for finally destroying the Star Wars franchise.
Okay. Oh, which one?
Here we go. He started the new ones. Like the Force Awakens. Oh, or something. He was the one to bring him back after the after the ones that sucked in the early 2000s. I like the originals quite a bit, but those ones in the 2000s, I was like, wait, they're trying to tell us that this is the same series,
right?
Like,
right.
Are you, who is this Jar Jar Binks, and why do I want
to
kill him?
To me, the beginning of the end.
I think so.
Ewoks.
Oh, you think in the
that was the age because I was like 13 when it came out, you know, and it's like, why are these fucking teddy bears? You know,
it's so funny. It was perfect for me because I was what? Like, it came out in 83, right? So I was like seven or I was seven.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you slept with your teddy bear. I wanted.
Oh, up yours, pal. I had consent.
All right. No, but wouldn't it have been better if they were Wookiees?
Yeah, yes. Sure. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah. I don't know. You know what? That's very sizist because
you
what's
know
his
it
name?
Would be better.
Davis, Warwick Davis, yeah. Wouldn't his career wouldn't have been
okay.
So great.
All right.
But then again, like, I guess the tall guys. That's my best. That's probably one of the best. That's not close, but that's
out
one
of the
best
way,
Wookiees
Peck.
Ever did. Yeah. Dude, anyway. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's that I'm done with it. I used to love it back in the days, have all those Star Wars. I wish I kept all those because, anyway. Paul Walker stars in this as Lewis Thomas, and Paul Walker's funny because I used to work with this girl who dated Paul Walker.
What?
Who dated, like, okay, so this is I started here in 1999 at this place, right? I'm the office manager, and the recruiter was this girl that just moved from California, and she was LDS, so she came here to her family, right, and all this stuff. And she used to date Paul Walker, and he, you know, remember back in the day when you didn't text as much? Well, he used to leave voicemails a lot on her phone, and she'd be like, listen to this asshole, and you'd hear him singing and just talk it all, and I'm just like, oh my holy hell, this guy is a cheese dick.
Oh my God.
And it's like, but no, but you know what? And I never really thought he could act very well, but boy, was he handsome, and there is no doubt about that. Okay, he is a looker, but I loved him in this movie, and I'll move on.
Okay.
Steve Zahn, who I love, who's the quirky little.
Oh, yeah.
You know what movie he's great in is That Thing You Do? Have you seen that?
Oh, I love that. Tom Hanks.
That's exactly.
Playtone.
I love that movie.
I love
and
that
he's
movie.
He's great in it.
Yeah.
Lili Sobieski is Vienna Wilcox. she actually had a two side characters. The headlights were blasting the whole movie. That's all I'll say. Yeah. Okay. Starred Jessica Bowman as Charlotte Dawson. Who's the girl up in Boulder.
Oh,
Matthew
right.
Kimbrough, uncredited, is Rusty Nail. He's the guy who was in the truck and the guy who towards the end you see
the
big boy.
But
yes, it was Ted Levine as the voice of Rusty Nail.
Would you fuck me?
No,
would you?
Isn't he a great big fat person?
Put the fucking lotion in the basket.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect voice, dude. Perfect voice for this.
Rusty
and
Nail.
He is creepy in this. Anyway, so we start the movie. We have Lewis, who lives in California, planning on flying home for the summer. I believe it was Berkeley. Did I get that right, or
yeah,
did I miss?
I don't
okay.
know.
So he's up there. He's in California. Yeah. For some reason, I get the idea it was Berkeley, but I'm not sure. Anyway, he's got the hots for his childhood friend named Venna, who is attending Colorado University in Boulder, Colorado. They're on the phone, and Venna tells him she's planning on staying in Boulder for the summer because she doesn't have a car or enough cash to fly back home for the summer. Like a complete stupid asshole, Lewis sells his plane ticket and purchases a car for the price of the ticket. Okay, so let's stop there for 1 minute. So his plan is to drive from Northern California to Boulder.
Right.
To Jersey.
Right.
In a car that costs as much as a plane ticket. Oh. Brother, you're not going to make it.
What were they driving? I looked it up.
It was like a 71. I mean, it was a badass looking
car.
Was it
a 1970 Plymouth Valiant?
I wonder if it was. I don't know.
That would have been awesome.
I mean, it could have been because it was like an old school. And it was a 71.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, but it's cool. But luck is what they needed to get there for that to work. But the thing is it wasn't on their side. Since he got a call, he found out his brother is needs to get bailed out in a jail in Salt Lake City, and he needs a ride. Okay, so Salt Lake City, shout out to us.
And then, does it say what he's doing? What he did?
I don't think it does. Yeah, no. I don't remember. Anyhow, everything starts all well and good. Lewis picks up his brother in Salt Lake, and they head off to Boulder. And it's cool because like you can follow along. Like I've been there. They go up that thing right under the tip of Wyoming. They just go to the bottom, and they're going to go down at Laramie.
Right, welcome Utah.
Yeah. So yeah, cool. So, but Lewis picks up it, like I said. But Fuller has a CB in the car. And they turn it on, listen to the chatter, and he gets into it a bit, creates the handle Black Sheep. Hello, Black Sheep, come back. You know, we're just kind of talking. And he's like, Steve Zahn is a fun guy. He seems like a fun guy to be around, you know. And Paul Walker and Paul Walker's character, Lewis. They, I mean, we're going back and forth. And you're like, oh man, this is just like a couple of dumb
good
assholes.
Chemistry.
Yeah, it's, you know, it was fun. And then he gets this amazing idea. By the way. Amazing idea. He feels like these truckers are horny and pathetic. Aren't we all, though? Okay. He talks Lewis into mimicking a female's voice to talk to a trucker with the handle Rusty Nail. Rusty Nail and Candy Cane, Lewis's handle, get to talking. It gets hot and heavy. Fuller talks Lewis into having Rusty Nail meet Candy Cane in a motel that they're staying at somewhere in Wyoming. Candy Cane tells Rusty Nail to meet him in the room that's really next to them, saying that she's there, right? But that happens to be housing a real douchebag that they had a little bit of a confrontation with, sorry, in the motel office. Anyway, that's a huge mistake, because apparently Rusty Nail is a little unhitched because he shows up, sad that Candy Cane doesn't answer the door. He fudging murders the dude in the room. And it's funny because these two dudes, they don't know exactly what happened. They're listening through the door. Right. And they're like, they hear a thud and all this stuff. And they're like, I wonder what that was. I don't know. Let's go to sleep.
Right.
Well,
right.
They wake up the next day and there's cops all over the place.
Didn't he like rip his jaw?
Rip the jaw off. Right. The dude is in poor, bad shape. And these guys are dickheads. Right.
Right.
Well, it turns out that the next day, Rusty Nail's a little more than unhinged, they find out, because they get in trouble. They get in trouble. The Wyoming police get all pissed off and tell the boys to just take off. Get out of my state, right? But as karma would have it, Rusty Nail is now on the road and starts to harass these dudes. When I say harass, I mean really screw with them, like bad. Like, this guy got so BH'd that he is going to make them pay. He is psycho, right? You're just like, oh my gosh, it's wild, and you got to watch it. Because Ted Levine does a great job. Just his voice is so scary, right?
You know, you ought to really get that fixed.
Yeah, your taillight.
Your taillight.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But, I mean, thankfully, they outsmart Rusty Nail and they get away clean. Oh, they pick up Venna and Boulder and start making their way home. Well, it turns out Rusty Nail was just chilling out, still on their tail, but this time putting Venna in danger. Will Lewis finally make his move on Venna? Will they be destroyed on the way home? Let's be real. How funny would that joke be in real life? Find out by watching Joyride from 2001. Okay. I need to confess something.
Okay. All right.
Oh my gosh. I was like as I'm watching.
No, you gotta start your confession with any, you know.
Okay. Forgive me, Father. I have sinned.
Oh, what have you son? What is your sin, my son?
So, remember back before the internet was prevalent, they had the phone dating apps.
I do remember that.
Dude, you know what we did one time? We would get on, act as women.
Oh yeah.
And get dudes to meet us at the 7-Eleven. And we'd see how many dudes we could get to meet us there at the same time.
Dude.
And we'd sit there and sit across the street with like a big gulp, and we'd just sit there, and like three or four would show up, and they'd all be standing there. They'd notice each other. Then after a while, they'd all take up. Now, I did not realize this is probably in like 95, 96, right?
Right, right.
So it was
right
before this movie, because right after this movie, there is no way I'm doing that. You know, but it was so funny to us, and we were assholes.
What was your handle? What was your name?
Oh, I don't, man. It's been so long. I have no idea. But it, and I wish.
Candy
Cane. Like, this is Marcy, and you know, stuff like that. And it's like, oh my gosh, bad.
What was that?
It's just like, but it was, and it worked so well. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys are idiots. But we're messing with these. And I look back, and I'm like, we're the biggest mother effers on the planet. We are cruel, and that's mean, and we're being a bunch of dickheads, you know?
Right,
but
right.
we were these guys' age. We're just idiots.
This is up in Farmington?
No. In, I'll give you a hint. It was in Denver.
Oh, so.
So yes.
Oh.
Yes, it was wild.
And Mike Cadaver is no longer allowed in Denver.
No. They said, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
That's
but,
right.
But no, honestly, it's like, we did that. And it's like, I watched this after. I'm like, oh my. And so when they're doing that and he's even doing the face, like he even changes his whole face when he's talking Puller.
Right.
And I'm like, I remember looking at my buddy doing that. And I remember doing it too. It's like, I'm laughing my ass off as I'm watching this movie, right? I mean, I'd seen it before, right? But it's, I haven't seen it in a long time. So I'm watching this going, oh my gosh, this is so, I'm like laughing. My wife's looking at me like, what is so funny?
Right.
But the thing is, their chemistry was really good. I mean, there's a thing when they get to Boulder about Venna and Lili Sobieski, like she's hot and which brother, you know, oh, you're not going to do anything. You're just friends, right?
Right,
and all
this stuff, right? Yeah.
So we had that. So we had a little bit of that, right? But I mean, it was, you know, it was, but basically what it was is it kind of turned into a duel-esque story at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Because they stop in a hotel and they think they're past it. And oh no, it's only just begun. And it was great though. What'd you think?
Oh, this movie's classic.
I love
it. You know, I appreciate how much it's kind of like, you know, 30 years.
Isn't that
since
wild?
Duel. You know.
Oh yes, it's 30. It's almost. Well, I guess it's 20 some odd years from now. Time is freaking flying, bro.
Right. And you know, so I think it's kind of cool what they did. The similarities, like you were saying earlier, between Duel and Joyride.
I don't think you had this movie without Duel.
Right. No, you don't.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't. I think that Duel kind of. I don't know what was. If there was anything done before about car, you know, like
maybe there was, but not with that kind of acumen.
Not right. And I think Duel definitely sets the tone for all of these other movies. Like
I
say, Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that.
The car from the front, it looked the same. Mm-hmm. It had that horn. You know, unnerving little.
Right.
You know, so.
And so, but I like the chemistry between Paul Walker and Steve Zahn. You know,
I like Steve. I just love Steve Zahn. Like everything he's in, I swear.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's
man.
A great funny
and,
guy.
And you know, the voice of Rusty Nail is, and when I remember the first time I saw him, I'm like, holy shit, that's the dude from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
but the thing is, they don't even credit him. They don't even credit the guy who physically played him. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it was some kind of a, like you know, in Frankenstein, the credits at the beginning, the monster. ...
Right.
I wonder
about. Sure.
But I mean, if you didn't know that was Ted Levine, then
you're
wild because he's got. Oh man, that was perfect.
It's such a like unmistakable voice.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
Oh, this is Rusty Nail. You know, like
bro,
like,
you didn't sound anything like it. But
no,
good job.
No,
good try.
Thanks. You know. Oh my God. Apologize. You know when he was like saying. You know he's like telling him to. No, I haven't seen. Joyride 2 or Joyride 3.
No, I think I'm not going to get my hopes up.
Maybe I will. But this was, I think this combo really fit well together.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was fun. I watched Joyride first and then I watched Duel.
You know, I watched them the opposite, but I think that we should have talked about Duel last and Joyride. Well, I guess except for this movie leans so heavily on Duel.
Right.
You know, that, so I don't know, but I'm just saying that. That is the classic. Duel is a classic. This one, I mean, the tension is there, but it's not as masterfully put together. And maybe it's not supposed to be that kind of movie,
Right.
Because there's some story going on. You know, you had a couple of, there's even some stuff that was cut out, like a story of, you know, more like between, like the love story between just all the brothers and Lili Sobieski's boobies. But the thing is, it's kind of a different kind of movie. This, I mean, this was back in the day where every movie had a picture of handsome people's and beautiful women's faces on it. You know, so it was kind of like in that late 90s style. I mean, it was 2001, but you know, right when Scream came out, it was like, when Scream came out all the way into the mid 2000s, everything that was, it was flashy, it was clean, it was slick, you know,
right?
And it had just beautiful people in it, and you know, but I think this stands out quite a bit from a lot of those because it's actually terrifying.
It is, and I like the addition of a buddy. You know, it wasn't just Paul Walker, which would have been cool.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, they could have redid Duel. You know. But they added Steve Zahn, so that's fun. Mm-hmm. And then with the element of the CB, you know, and to be able, you know, so you're getting this voice, so you're not seeing the driver, but you're hearing.
So it's a little bit different than the unseen, unknowable bad guy, but this is just as bad. You got a psychotic Ted Levine,
right?
And he's doing that, but
yeah.
But let's be real though. Paul Walker couldn't have held this down by himself like the guy in Duel.
Oh, Dennis Weaver?
Yeah, no. I mean, he's no. I mean, listen, he's dead, right? So, I mean, I'm not trying to talk shit or anything like that, right? But man. it's like he's just, I mean, I remember this girl was telling me how he was crying because he tried to get Hayden Christensen's role in the prequel Star Wars.
Right.
And so, but that's the same dude. I swear, Hayden Christensen and this guy back in the day. But it's just like, so it's like, you know, he had his thing. He got rich and famous from the Fast and Furious movies,
right,
which
right.
I haven't seen one of those.
Right. Yeah, I'm good.
But so, I mean, good for him. He did great. And so up mine for not believing in his talent or whatever. But he did great in this. You know?
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. But I don't think he would have been able to pull it off.
No, not like that.
You know, I think that they needed Steve Zahn to like carry it through.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's clear. It's great. It's classic. It's a lot
of
fun.
I like this a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's cool to think of the 30-year difference, you know.
Right, and the same things are terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Like these, I mean, if you think about it, and you think about all the movies we watch, it's going to be rare if like I go catch my wife cheating on me, and then go to a Chinese warlock to get my revenge and all this stuff. That's not going to happen to me, you know.
It could.
This might. Well, at least the second part's not going to happen.
It's possible. Not probable.
Yeah. Yes. But I mean, is there any? I don't even know any Chinese warlocks. Come on.
Let's. I get. It's Friday night.
It's like, and I got the Google. There we go. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, but like I said, living here in Salt Lake and driving long hours at night,
right,
you know,
right.
throughout my life, and it's just this just hits you, and it's great, you know. Like, it's funny because like people on the East Coast will be like, yeah, I'm in this huge city and I'm going to go to this next huge city. It's far away. How long will it take you to get there? An hour and a half?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Bro, hey, nothing.
You know what's interesting was pointed out to me by a gentleman, an English gentleman. In America, we talk about how far we're going by time.
Yeah.
Not by miles. Uh-huh. Oh, it's 150 miles.
Right.
Oh, no, it'll take me an hour and a half. You know, it's like,
well, yeah, well,
you know,
because
oh, it's 15 minutes away.
That makes sense to me, though.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah. Anywhere else, you know, mm-hmm. I guess if you go to England and you're like, oh, it's, you know, 20 minutes away. They're like, huh? How far is it in yeah. kilometers? You know, so.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, I don't. I think the thing is, though, is because it. I mean, highway versus city driving. I don't know. You
right,
know,
right.
But anyway, but yeah, that's definitely. I mean, that's. I mean, I didn't know that that's how they did it, but I know it just because that's the bottom line. It just takes me that long to get there.
Right. I always think about distance. Oh, how mm-hmm. long does it? Oh, okay. You know. Yeah. Anyway, these movies are awesome.
These are great. Recommend both of them. These are great. I mean, I will not. I hated Duel. Like I said, it was just. It just honestly. It just stressed me out. Whereas Joy, it was. It was very stressful. But Joyride was a lot more fun. Is it masterfully crafted? No. Is it? You know? Is it? It's a great movie. But you could see the work of a master in Duel.
Yeah, you know what, Spielberg. You could definitely see if you're a fan of Spielberg. If you're familiar with his movies, you could definitely see.
And this is so early on.
You know, very Spielberg-esque elements mm-hmm. in this movie. It's like, oh, cool. You know, like, and kind of put all the puzzle, you know, pieces
in the
puzzle.
And it's fun for me because I'd never seen it, but I'd seen all of his other stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So looking back, going, oh, shit. You know,
yeah. Cool. Awesome.
All right. So that's all we got. Remember, if you got any. If you just want to send us a message or give us some feedback.
We didn't get any phone calls.
We didn't get any phone calls today, but you can rectify that for next episode by calling 385-351-9273. That's 385-351-9273. Visit corpsecollective.com. You can find our podcast on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, and wherever else fine podcasts are found. So for the Corpse Cast, we will catch you guys later.
Bye.